Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It is another gorgeous day in the Bay Area. And I thank everybody for staying inside to listen to me rather than being outside enjoying the sunshine, which we all should be doing. Unfortunately, this work thing really interferes with your leisure time. And I've always considered myself to be a person of leisure. Unfortunately, here I am, and that's okay. I love talking to you folks, and I love getting the feedback from the listeners because that gives me direction on what you're thinking and the information that you want that I can help provide. So it's a good thing. Yeah. We got a kind of a special show today. We've got a guest lined up right away, Kevin Sterrett with Oregon Firearms Federation. And we're going to talk to Kevin about this IP-43. Which is basically a gun confiscation scheme put together by a bunch of boneheads up in Portland. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Kevin Sterrett. Kevin, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. You know, probably the hottest topic in the state right now is this IP-43, and there's a lot of information out there, but a lot of it is unfortunately misinformation. And I know you're right on top of it. I get your email alerts and I follow those very closely. And then I do my own research on the side. And you know, I got to give you credits there, Kevin. Normally when I get email alerts on various issues, and I do the research, I generally find out that somebody's stretching a little bit or overreaching, and I haven't noticed that with your alerts. You're right on the money with them, so I'd like to compliment you for that.
Thank you. It'd be pretty hard to overreach on either of these measures, 43 and 44.
You can
hardly make up stuff as crazy as this.
Oh, I know. And just to give the listeners kind of a heads up on what this is, basically, it's a gun registration slash confiscation measure, because we all know from experience, and history teaches us, that once you allow the government to know that you have something, it's only a matter of time until they come along and knock on your door and say, hey, we want it.
Well, and this is actually a gun confiscation and re-registration measure. Because, you know, virtually all firearms purchased now in Oregon are registered, have been for some time. And prior to 2015, you could transfer a firearm to another party privately, and that wouldn't be registered.
Right.
Now, since all these transactions, even if I wanted to transfer a gun to you, would have to be done through a dealer and go through the state police. The state police have a registry not only of all guns purchased from the dealer themselves, but purchased through the dealer. And not only do they have information on the buyer of the gun, but if I'm transferring a gun to another private party, now they keep information on me as the person who's transferring the gun away. And so this measure 43 calls for a second registration, I guess to catch those few people who may have transferred a gun before 2015. But basically what it also says is we want all of these guns gone, destroyed, or moved out of the state. And if you do register them, and it's important to keep in mind, the guns that they're registering are virtually all modern firearms.
Yes.
And banning basically all modern firearms. But in addition to that, they're calling for the, quote, registration of ammunition magazines.
Right.
Now, how do you register something that has no identifying mark on it? Well, they don't say, except that they kind of turn that over to the state police. And I guess the state police would then have to have a system where you brought in your magazines, they applied a serial number to them. And so for the people who think, well, that's not so bad, you know, I get to keep my guns if I register them. Well, but you can't give them to anyone else. You can't pass them down to your children, and you can't do anything with them.
You can't sell them.
You can't sell them. You can't leave the house with them unless you're going to an approved shooting range.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, the first step is to tie all these things up and force you to have them locked up in your home, unusable. And the next step is to, or you have the option of destroying them or moving them out of the state. Here's the thing that's so fascinating about it is they're saying that what they want to do is regulate or ban assault weapons. And so they use this term assault weapons in the ballot measure. But then they get to decide what an assault weapon is.
Right. They get to make that definition.
Right. And when you look at their definitions, some of it is just nonsense. It's gibberish.
Well, this is where we're getting the misinformation, Kevin, because all of the pro IP43 information I have seen stresses assault weapons, and they focus in on basically AR type rifles for their talking points. But the reality is, if you read that ballot measure, just about every modern semi-automatic handgun would be banned under this as well.
Right, and the ones that aren't outright banned would be rendered useless because their magazines are banned.
Right. So,
this is like saying, I get to invent the language, right? And since assault is a crime, obviously an assault weapon is a weapon intended to be used in a crime, why not just say we are banning crime guns, and then crime guns are any gun that has a trigger on it, because we get to define them. And so they use these inflammatory terms with the hopes of getting people in big cities who aren't familiar with firearms to say, oh, yeah, those are the bad guns that are being used to hurt the children, when, in fact, they're very, very rarely used in crime. But by giving anybody the opportunity to redefine the language, it would be like saying, we're now controlling hate speech. Therefore,
right.
If you have a Bible, a Quran, or a Torah, you must register it with the state police, you must keep it locked up in an approved safe, you can't transfer it to your children, you can't read it in a room with any other people. And we will call these hate books, and we get to define what hate books are. And if this passes, there's nothing to stop someone from doing exactly that.
Well, actually, Kevin, somebody has. I was reading news this morning, and I don't remember where it was. It was just a short article. But somebody somewhere is now proposing that Bibles and Korans and Torahs and other religious books not be made available in any public place. Uh-huh.
And why not? I mean, why not say if your pastor must have his sermons approved a month before he gives them by the state police? Because let's face it, speech is dangerous. Some of the things that have been taught in religious texts have been very violent. They've been very dangerous, and we can't have this out there because it's hateful, and people are going to get hurt. Clearly, you listen to people who are anti-Christian, and they will tell you that millions of people have died in the name of Christianity. So we've got to put a stop to that. And if a group of people can come along and just create terms that are inflammatory, and then write that into law, all our constitutional rights are gone.
Well, and that's the scary part. Here we have a ballot measure that's urging people to vote away their constitutionally guaranteed rights. How smart do you have to be to cast a vote to undermine your own constitutional rights? Only an idiot would do that, wouldn't they?
This is what's fascinating to me now, is when you see this movement by these potty-mouthed, Tide pot-eating toddlers, who's the first generation of Americans who are protesting to demand fewer rights.
Yeah.
It's astonishing that, and it's terrifying, because it's all been predicted and it's all happened before. But now you have these children who are saying, well, an 18-year-old old enough to go to war should not be allowed to own the very gun he'd go to war with. We're too immature. We're too irresponsible. But by God, we want to make policy.
Well, if they're not mature enough at 18 to own a firearm, why would we allow them to drive a two-ton vehicle and pilot it down the public streets? That's a missile.
It's exactly it. I mean, I would suggest to any of these children who are in fact really lemmings who've been marching and demanding fewer rights, give me your car keys till you're 21 because you are the most likely person to get in an accident and kill somebody else. That's just statistically real. That's not questionable. They're no more likely to use a firearm against someone, but they are far more likely to use a vehicle against someone.
Well, yeah.
I don't think they should be driving cars until they're 21.
Well, all you got to do is look at the statistics, look at the number of people that are killed by firearms as opposed to the number of people that are killed by motor vehicles. It's a no-brainer. You know,
they certainly shouldn't be voting.
Hey, I got to take a break, Kevin. If you can hang on for a couple minutes, there's a couple more things we need to go over. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. Sometimes deer like to jaywalk, or even once in a while a basketball forgets to look both ways before bouncing across the street. When those moments happen, be ready for the stop with the Michelin Premier All-Season Tire, a tire design with more performance in mind. Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I was just listening to the ad for Hole in the Wall Gun Shop, and I wanted to give everybody a heads up. The owner down there, Kenny, had hip replacement surgery last Friday, and the shop is going to be closed except for temporary hours. It'll be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Monday through Friday, because there's a lot of people that ordered guns and they're coming in and they need to pick those up. So for at least the next couple of weeks while Kenny's recuperating from surgery, Hole in the Wall is only going to be open from 10 to 2 on weekdays. So kind of mark that down for future reference. Anyway, I want to get back to our guest, Kevin Sterrett here with Oregon Firearms Federation. Something occurred to me, Kevin, an analogy. In listening to these people that are supporting IP43, they talk incessantly about assault weapons. Well, in a little different vein, here just a few years ago, we had a massive attack on SUVs because they're gas guzzlers. And if you drive an SUV, you're making all these small economy cars unsafe because you could run over them without even knowing it. Isn't it the same type of thing that, you know, you get a group of wackos together and they decide that something's bad and they want to inflict that idea on the rest of us? What's to say if we pass this that they won't come along and say, well, if you own an SUV, you can't drive it in the state of Oregon. You've got to turn it over to the state for no compensation.
Oh, what's to prevent somebody from saying, hey, you know, you live in a big house with a lot of extra bedrooms, and there's homeless people out there. You have to house some of these people. If the majority can write a rule to take away people's rights, that is the end of the republic. Now we have mob rule. And, you know, they're right. They're called rights for a reason, because they cannot arbitrarily be taken away in the absence of you having committed some kind of crime. But that's exactly what this is. And, you know, what's really ironic to me is that this ballot measure, and of course there's two, but the one that's gotten the ballot title is 43,
right,
is put together by a group of people who claim to be clergy, right, a kind of a backsliding Lutheran pastor, a Muslim clergyman, and a rabbi. And I'm thinking, a rabbi wants to take away the firearms of the population. And that makes me think, do they not teach history in rabbinical school anymore? I mean, this is a really chilling notion that somebody who comes from a heritage that experienced what his people experienced would want to expedite this happening again is just terrifying.
The old adage, Kevin, you can't cure stupid. You know, the thing that occurred to me, this is all done by a bunch of clergy who, their churches have tax-exempt status, so we're allowing people who are tax-exempt to put out a ballot measure to deprive the rest of us of our constitutional rights, and they don't even pay taxes. How smart is this?
Oh, it's absolutely absurd. And I mean, you think about the ability now to inflict a restriction on virtually any right that exists. And look, and that's what they're trying to do. We just posted on our Facebook page a letter that was signed by a lawyer who works for the Attorney General, claiming that, you know, we need to get rid of all hate speech. Oh yeah, we're for free speech, but we've got to get rid of hate speech. Well, guess what? We get to decide what hate speech is. And if you happen to be a conservative male, God forbid a conservative Christian male, everything that you say is hate speech. And of course, you know, both of these measures were written by people who, I mean, they're largely incoherent. Some of them are just technically make no sense at all. They're banning a lot of things that are already illegal or heavily regulated by federal law. And in fact, if you look at some of the definitions, this measure would ban just about every rifle that's out there that's semi-automatic, because they have created a definition for what they call a barrel shroud, which in fact is nothing more than the stock of a rifle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a forearm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't shoot a rifle much without a forearm, because the barrel gets hot and you can't hang on to it.
And so it's one thing after another. I'm starting to see, I mean, I think even the Ben Bulletin editorialized about how absurd this all is. But when you look at it, it's kind of, some of it's really quite opaque. We've had a heck of a time determining what some of it means. Initially, it appeared to me that police officers who were off duty would not be exempt from this. Now, on second reading, it looks like off-duty police will be exempt from this. But obviously, what we're hoping for is to have as many police agencies as possible. Look, I mean, if these things are killing machines,
right,
why do we hand them to our police officers?
Good
if
question.
If all they're good for is killing as many people as quickly as possible, which is the rap we've been hearing for 35 years, is that something we want to hand to the guardians of our safety? I don't think so. So, to suggest that these have no decent purpose, no good purpose, and then to say, I want one in every police car, is a pretty scary concept.
Well, I'm a shooter. You know, I don't make any bones about it. I'm a shooter. And I have a couple of guns, and most of my rifles are target rifles. I have an AR. It's a target rifle. It has a large scope on top of it. It has a bipod. Chances of using a rifle like that for anything other than poking holes in paper is kind of ludicrous for anybody that knows anything about firearms.
Well, and of course, you know, what happens is they create these completely bogus statistics. So, for example, every mass shooting in this country has been done by an angry white male. Completely false. The mass shootings in this country, less than 50% have been white males. You'll never hear that. You know, they're just,
well, the other thing you won't hear, Kevin, is that, and I've verified this, all but two shootings, in all but two of these mass shootings in the past 10 years, every single one of those shooter was either a Democrat or from a Democrat family. So if we want to stop the mass shootings, what we should do is ban Democrats.
Right. Or, you know, if NRA members, I saw a great statistic about this, if I don't remember exactly how it went, but this is always blamed on the NRA, right?
Right.
None of these people are NRA members.
No, not a single NRA member has gone out and committed mass murder. But
if non-NRA members would stop doing mass shootings, there'd be no mass shootings, period.
You're absolutely right.
Maybe that should be the goal, to have everyone who's an NRA member be the only one allowed to own a gun, I guess, at this point, and then we'll all become NRA members.
Oregon firearms member would be better, but
yeah,
I would agree
with you. I would agree with you, Kevin. This is Rob, by the way.
I think... on a local basis, I think OFF does actually more for us than NRA does. NRA seems to be they're too big to be concerned about a backwater state like Oregon. They don't spend any money here. We've got really poor representation, and in the last several years, their benefit dinners have kind of turned to crap too, at least the local ones.
Jim, I'll even go even further than that. Kevin Sterrett of Oregon Firearm Federation is helping out in one of the most highly contested seats in the state, and that's the Terry Greer, Caddy McEwen campaign that's going on. And we're desperately trying to get Terry in there because she is a gun Second Amendment supporter. She worked with Joe Arpaio back in Arizona. And Caddy, as you know, is a flip-flopper. She never knows which way you're going. And why do we need someone we can't depend on? And Kevin's been helping out on that, where NRA has been just the opposite.
Yeah, NRA hasn't done squat.
You know, the other thing about these ballot measures is, look, there's a process for fighting these ballot measures. And NRA, if you look at their website, has reported, mostly by just reposting news stories, that these ballot measures exist, but they haven't said one word to their members about what they can do about it.
Yeah, they haven't done anything. You know,
when you look at their candidate grades and you look at, okay, so Newt Bueller gets a B. This is a guy who in 2017 introduced not one, not two, but three anti-gun bills with Elizabeth Steiner Haywood, who is a militantly anti-gun leftist senator from Portland. And then he votes in favor of taking away the rights of people who have potentially been falsely accused. He's had a constituent in his district who was falsely accused, lost his home, lost his job, lost his reputation, all based on complete lies. And his position, Bueller's position, is, well, he got his day in court. Well, he only got his day in court because he had a court-appointed attorney who really worked hard and proved the allegations were false. But the person who made the false allegations was never charged with a crime, because they didn't want to discourage anyone from making these allegations.
Right, yeah.
This guy gets a B. At the same time, Greg Walden is saying, I am open to more gun control. I am open to banning this and that. I'm open to raising the age of a purchase from 18 to 21. This guy gets an A. It's just completely inexplicable. You know, I just don't understand what they're thinking there. And
You know as well as I do, Kevin, what they're doing. They're walking outside, licking their finger and sticking it up in the air to see which way they think the wind's blowing. The problem with that is that, and Donald Trump proved this beyond a reasonable doubt, there's an awful lot of folks out there that disagree with a lot of things that are happening, and you don't hear from these people until it comes time to mark their ballot. And then they come out, and, oh, my God, how could we have been so wrong? And, you know, we're facing the same type of thing here.
But they don't ever want to admit they're wrong either. I mean, you know, I look at these people who have been voting against us and for years, and they keep getting endorsements from NRA. And it's all a matter of whose cocktail parties they get into.
Exactly. And you know, years ago, before I tumbled to how this actually works, I actually looked at NRA endorsements before I marked my ballot. But, you know, in probably the last four or five election cycles, I've voted for about half the people that NRA said weren't good.
Right.
You know? So you can't trust them.
Well, I do agree with you. I think they have written off this state as something. Look, here's another thing. They came here when Senator Brian Boquist introduced his gun confiscation bill.
Right.
They came and testified against it. Now they're supporting it. Now they're supporting gun confiscation bills nationwide.
Yeah.
And it's insane. What purpose do they serve if they're not serving the purpose of at least tacitly standing up for the rights that people send them money to protect?
Well, and that, you know, and the thing is, donations to NRA have set new records every month for the last, 2 years? You know, people do get it. The problem with NRA, they've become a monolithic entity that's more interested in political posturing than they are in actually accomplishing anything.
Well, I think what they are is a business, you know, and they're motivated by profit. And you know, if we can't even count on the NRA to oppose gun confiscation bills that they sent their lobbyists here to testify against,
right,
then what the heck's the point?
Well, you make a valid point. I don't want to trash the NRA. I just want to get the information out there so people know. But, the bottom line here is we here in Oregon are pretty much on our own. About the only voice we have is you and the Oregon Firearms Federation.
The voices are really the voices of the people. And anything that we've accomplished has not been because I'm a skilled orator or something like that. It's because we've given people the tools to respond and make their voices heard. And I'll tell you, we didn't lose a single fight until 2015, when Bloomberg rolled in here with millions of dollars.
Oh, I know.
Elections.
Well, Bloomberg came in and he's financing Kate Brown for re-election, and he's spreading money around mostly to Portland Democrats. And why are we allowing out-of-state interests to come in here and tell us that we're not responsible enough to own firearms?
Well, what you need to do, Kevin, is you need to find out one of the Koch brothers and see if you can get into those pockets there, and then you could have dueling billionaires here in the state of Oregon.
Well, but we wouldn't quite be dueling because we still have to deal with Soros, who's also giving substantial amounts of money to Kate Brown.
Oh, yes.
We know where her sympathies lie. Let's face it. This is a dangerous situation we're facing here, and frankly, there is not a day goes by that I don't hear from several people saying, I'm done. I've got to get out of this state. And it's not just guns, it's taxes, it's infringements on every kind of liberty. It's the battle against rural Oregon. It's the will of Portland. Once you get out of Portland, man, you guys are nothing but a bunch of knuckle-dragging hillbilly rubes, and what's good for you doesn't matter because, for us folks here in the valley, the rest of the state's just the park. And basically, what we're doing now is just burning it down.
The problem is, Kevin, if it wouldn't be so devastating to everybody, I would be all in favor of, okay, well, let's vote for everything that Portland thinks they want and then wait a couple years and see how those people like getting what they ask for.
And I understand that sentiment. And I've had many conversations with good friends of mine who basically said, look, it just has to crash. But the damage that could be done, there are good people who are stuck living in places like Portland.
Hey.
And the damage that gets done in Portland, Portland is basically just a huge feces-strewn refugee camp at this point.
Yeah, it's basically San Francisco North is what it is.
Right. Basically, anybody who wants to start or run a business is attacked, criticized, taxed to death. The system fees, the permit fees to put up a building, a house in Portland are $40,000. They wonder why they don't have affordable housing because they tax housing, right, which makes it more expensive. Then they want to wonder why it's not affordable. But the amount of damage that would be done to innocent people, and it's just not what happened in Portland. I mean, I live 30-something miles from Portland, but the creep is, it's moving away. We were starting to have homeless people living in motorhomes in my town, sleeping in parks and stuff like that because they're just running out of room for tents in Portland.
It's like a cancer that's metastasizing throughout the state.
And it will destroy. I mean, we let the whole eastern and southern part of the state burn because if there's a fire, we don't put it out until it's 20,000 acres.
Right.
And then people lose their homes and their timber and their livelihood. And Portland doesn't care.
No, they don't. They don't, and that's the problem. I got to take another break here. I'm running way over time. I need to give something away. This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one inside Walmart in Coos Bay and one in Reedsport. And they've authorized me to give away some freebies as an appreciation for people dining at McDonald's. So I have in my hot little hand here a certificate for one free dessert of your choice, another one for one free small McCafe beverage of your choice, another one for one free breakfast sandwich of your choice, another one for one free lunch or dinner sandwich of your choice, as well as a sheet of coupons that are on various products, and it's basically buy one, get one free. And I'm going to give those away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124, and caller number 3 will win all these goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And I'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. How do you save money on brake work? Not by skimping, say the experts, who claim a bargain brake job seldom is a bargain. Instead, they say invest in the best brake service available, drive sensibly, and of course, practice preventative maintenance. Preventative maintenance includes a periodic inspection of brake components to stay ahead of excessive wear of your brake rotors and drums. If you have squeaky brakes, they may be getting worn out and need to be replaced.
Make it a point now to have your brakes checked by Tom's Bulldog Automotive. They'll make sure your brakes are working properly and your car is in tip-top shape for the winter. Call them at Tom's Bulldog Automotive today at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 3rd year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off 2 MyPillow premiums and 2 go-anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have on the phone with me Kevin Sterrett, the head of Oregon Firearms Federation. We're talking about IP43, the attempt to basically steal our firearms from us, because that's what it is, Kevin. It's theft. They want us to register these so-called assault weapons, and everybody that understands anything knows that registration is nothing more than a precursor to confiscation.
Well, that's exactly true. And, of course, if it were simple registration, a lot of people would say, well, what the heck's the difference? I already registered that thing. How much worse can it be? But if you look at the language of the measure, it essentially bans all this stuff. And if you are allowed to keep it with the state police approval, if you have stored it the way they demand that you store it, and you can't take them out and shoot them anyway, you can't give them to your kids, you can't transfer them to anyone else unless you ship them out of state. And it doesn't get much worse than that.
Well, it's legalized theft. You know, I'll give you a personal example. My personal AR target rifle, I've got about $1,200 in that rifle. It is anything but an assault weapon. And yet, under this, it would be declared an assault weapon. And I don't see myself giving up a $1,200 rifle with no compensation.
Yeah, that's going to be a little difficult. And I wonder where they're going to get the money for that.
Well, listen, I will tell you this. I don't see me giving it up with any compensation. You know, you couldn't give me $1 million and get me to turn over my guns because I know what happens next.
Exactly. What state? I think it was Connecticut. I'm not sure. But a couple of years ago, they passed a similar law defining, by their definition, assault weapons and required registration. Well, then a year and a half later, they came back and started confiscating them.
They did that when I was – I'm from New York, as you can tell.
Right.
And just before I moved from New York to Oregon, they attempted to ban what they called assault weapons, which in New York City was any rifle capable of holding more than 5 rounds. So your basic lever-action Winchester is now an assault weapon.
Right.
While I was there, we beat that back. After I moved here, they came back and enacted the law. And remember, in New York – every rifle and shotgun, and of course, handguns, forget about owning them,
right.
But every rifle and shotgun had to be registered with the police. Well, they banned all this stuff and said, turn them in. And they went to people's homes and took them.
Yeah.
This is nothing speculative. It's not a conspiracy theory. I got a letter from the New York City police after I moved to Oregon saying, we know you have these guns, turn them in.
Yeah. Well, what happened in Connecticut, they've only got about 16% compliance. The people said, we're not going to do this. Screw you. So technically, what they have done is they have created a bunch of potential felons for people that won't agree with their silly confiscation schemes.
Yeah, these are ex post facto laws. They're creating criminals, yes.
Yeah, yeah, they're creating criminals.
Exactly. They're creating criminals because they are following the Constitution. The criminals are obeying the Constitution. It's really interesting that the people who are behind this measure, you know, the people who are behind 44 are Bloomberg paid stooges who are professionals.
Oh, of course.
But the people who are behind 43 are supposedly this interfaith community, which is actually an interhate community. Because you think about it, these people want to put their fellow Oregonians in prison because they have a box with a spring in it.
Yeah, basically that's it. You know, something else that occurred to me, and maybe this will bring it home to a lot of listeners. Also banned under this, if it passes, is probably the most popular rifle in history, and that's the Ruger 10/22.
Yeah, I just got two of those. I'm going to be upset if I have to give them up.
But,
well,
you know, everybody
you only give
in
them
the
up
world.
If you choose to give them up. But look, the AR rifle is the most popular rifle ever created in America, and there's a reason for it. It's reliable. It's modular. It's extremely efficient. It's lightweight. It's low recoil. It's popular for a reason.
And it's relatively inexpensive.
Say, we're taking this away, and they're banning the most popular handguns that people use for self-defense, saying, "Well, we're going to tell you how many rounds your firearm may contain." It's utterly illogical.
Basically, if this passes, Glocks would be illegal, Sig Sauers would be illegal, your Smith & Wesson M&Ps. Virtually every modern handgun would become illegal.
Yeah, most 9mm, any semi-automatics, right.
Yeah, everything right.
And,
but
and
mouse
then if
guns.
If you look at some elements of 43, and it depends on how you interpret it, but it could very well mean that if you rent an apartment or you're renting a space where you're living, it could be a space in a mobile home community, you would have to have permission from the owner of the property to have a firearm there.
Really?
Now, there's two possible interpretations of that.
But that is one that I think courts might very well believe that that's what it was intended to be.
You know, that's one of the worst things when you have people who are creating laws through initiative, and I know this because I've gone through the initiative process itself, is they don't really have the legal fortitude to review and figure out the consequences and negative effects of their law like they would at least through the legislative process, no matter how ignorant they come out with bad laws. At least they go through somewhat of a process where they can figure this out. Whereas an initiative, you got the three guys who are just, you know, putting this up on the wall, and it was written probably by one attorney with very little review. So there's a lot of problems with this law just from that aspect alone.
Yeah, and I don't know that an attorney looked at this. Most of the language of 43 has been typed almost word for word from House Bill 3200 from 2013,
right,
which was an extreme measure that we were able to beat back and even force some legislators to take their name off of it because it was so crazy. But, Rob, you're exactly right. The thing that doesn't really get any kind of intelligent review, what it becomes a matter of is who has enough money to buy the most commercials. And if this thing gets on the ballot and Bloomberg rolls into town and does a $20 million media buy, all we're going to see are grainy black and white films of white guys walking down school hallways gunning kids down. And people are going to be swayed. City people, Portland people are going to be swayed and say, oh, yes, we absolutely have to stop that, without having, you know, the slightest concept that your average shotgun is infinitely more dangerous than the rifles that they're trying to ban.
Absolutely.
You know, in fact, my sawed-off shockwave shotgun would be perfectly legal under this measure, and it's a devastating firearm. But these people don't understand that. They don't understand firearms. All they want to do is ban whatever has the most terrifying appearance. And that to them is the ARs and the AKs and, you know, the semi-automatic rifles that are modular, efficient, you know.
Yeah, you know, anything that's high-tech and useful, they want to get rid of. And
except their computers and their Twitter accounts and their smartphones, you know, because, you see, the founders could never have imagined any weapons more complicated than a flintlock, which, of course, is nonsense, because not only did they imagine them, but they had them. They had puckle guns. They had Gatling guns. They had all those things. They had cannons that were devastating, and they expected civilians to own them.
Yeah.
But these clowns believe that, oh, the founders could, the most brilliant people who ever got together on the face of the earth could not have imagined a better weapon than the one they had. And if they could have imagined it, they would have banned them. Because let's face it, they're fighting the biggest, the greatest, most powerful empire on the earth at the time. They wouldn't have wanted more efficient weapons because somebody could get hurt by them. I mean, the whole thing's preposterous.
Yeah, so if somebody would have come up with a repeating muzzle loader, you know doggone well that George Washington would have had it.
And they did. They had air rifles that were repeating rifles that were effective up to 200 yards. And these things had 20-round magazines. And, of course, people forget all this because they have no historical context. But to suggest that if they thought there was something better out there, they wouldn't have wanted it. Well, of course they would have wanted it. I mean,
well, we can go back to my analogy of automobiles. The founding fathers had no inkling that we would have SUVs, right?
But
no,
I guarantee
we shouldn't
you,
be allowed to have them.
Yeah. But I guarantee if the founding fathers could have taken a platoon of SUVs, they would gladly have taken it and with you know, the ARs right, mounted right on the top of them suckers. So, you know, to think that they wouldn't have taken it is ridiculous. You're right.
Yeah. The other thing that occurred to me, Kevin, there's right at 23,000 existing gun control laws on the books nationally. 23,000. Well, my question to these anti-gunners, obviously, none of those laws are effective, so why don't we repeal all 23,000 of those before we start to pass new laws?
Well, of course, that's true. I mean, when you look at the mass killings that we've had in this country, they demanded background checks. They got background checks. Didn't matter because people either passed them or they bypassed them. They
right.
demanded waiting periods. That didn't make any difference. They've demanded, I mean, look, San Bernardino, California has a, quote, assault weapons ban. Well, what'd they use in San Bernardino? And as long as these, it's like, okay, we outlawed heroin. Heroin will never get in the country again.
Right.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
What we do is we disarm law-abiding people because Well, that's ultimately what the goal is. This is not about keeping people safe. They
Oh, no, it doesn't keep people safe. They don't care about safety. They care about control.
This is about subjugating the civilian population to the armies of the politicians. That's all this is about.
Hey, you mind if I make a quick comment here? Yeah, this is Bill, Jim's producer. Hey, Kevin, one thing I've really thought is kind of a really strange paradox is a lot of the very same people that would want to vote in favor of this measure, should it be put on the ballot, a lot of these same people don't like the police and the military, and yet they want to live in a police state where only the police and the military have a, you know, the means of coercive force, and
precisely,
the citizenry is disarmed. It makes no sense.
The same people who are saying that our police are gunning down innocent black men in vast numbers, but we want them to have a monopoly on power. It's just, it's like the whole liberal mindset, you know, is so, it's cognitive dissonance. How do you simultaneously embrace abortion, militant homosexuality, feminism, and Islam?
Well, did you happen to see that report that was released last week, I believe it was, from CDC on ordinary citizens using firearms for self-protection?
Well, my understanding is they didn't release it. Other people got a hold
of it because the Clinton administration actively suppressed that. They actively suppressed it, and I don't remember who it was, but somebody got access to that and released it publicly. And over 2 million times per year, ordinary folks use a firearm to deter crime. Over 2 million times. So what that means is, if we pass this asinine IP43, then, well, let's take 1/50th of 2 million, whatever that would be. But that's how many crimes we would have in this state that went unanswered.
Well, and I will tell you this. I think if you analyze the FBI reports, if you can really drill down into them, you're going to find out that most people in this country who are killed with rifles are killed by the police.
Yeah.
It's just so rarely used in a crime. Of course, they're high-profile crimes, you know, like the Florida shooting. But in many cases, the guns used in, you know, Virginia Tech, it was handguns.
Yeah.
You know, the naval base shooting, it was shotguns. It was just, anybody can misuse anything. And, of course, we actually now have a congressman who wants to have background checks before people can rent cars because they're driving them up. This is true. They're driving them up on the sidewalk and killing people. And so clearly a person intent on carnage is going to have a way to do it. The thing about a firearm is it's the most effective way to respond to these kind of things. And we live in at a time when we've had an increase in terrorism on our soil where we see people, I mean, you know, car ran through a bunch of people in Canada. And now they want to say, we need to disarm. It's national suicide, and it's hysteria, and it's just got to be stopped.
Oh yeah. Well, they, you know, and here's a real problem. Nobody's talking about the real causes of all of these problems. You know, predominantly young people that are all confused and frustrated and to go out and kill other people. Did anybody ever consider maybe addressing the root causes of the problem? Things like it's okay to kill a baby if it's inconvenient for you. It's okay to overlook our laws if you disagree with them. It's okay to do things that are totally inappropriate. And then young people, hell, they can't even decide what gender they are.
And then they dope them up.
We're in a situation now where we have young people growing up who the video games they play reward them for the number of people they kill.
Right.
Now,
I don't think that putting a kid in front of a video game turns him into a killer. But I do think that if you take that and combine it with virtually all of the young people who committed these crimes have come from fatherless homes.
Right.
They're on psychotropic drugs.
Yep.
They're watching these games. You put all these things together where we're training them to kill and we're giving them points and cheering them on for the amount of blood they can spill. Then we add that the kind of policies we saw in Florida, where they're saying, well, like there were no signs that this guy was going to kill people. He said on social media, I am going to go shoot up a school.
Yeah.
The cops were at his house 39 times. We used to call that a clue, you know? But no, it was the fault of the firearm. It's just patently absurd. And so now we see these stupid kids who are setting the agenda. They're getting constant airtime on TV. They know nothing about what they're talking about. But one kid there who took five bullets and pointed out and said, hey, it was the government's policies that caused this nightmare. You're not going to solve it with more government policies. He's being silenced and ignored.
Exactly. That Florida shooting, you could trace that directly back to Obama, because he's the one that implemented the policy where minority kids that do things, do bad things, and even up to and committing crimes, well, we're not going to punish them. We don't want to ruin their lives. Well, it's not us that's ruining their lives. It's their actions that ruin their lives. Whatever happened to individual responsibility, that's the bottom line here.
Well, listen, one good way to lower your crime stats is to simply not arrest anybody.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time here. Let people know how they can get a hold of you, how they can help.
Go to OregonFirearms.org. There's the recent alerts. Actually, all our alerts are posted up there. Tell you what these ballot measures do, how you can respond to them. There's a link to put your email address in to get our alerts. You can join there. But if nothing else, get on our alert list, and you're going to know what's happening the minute we do. And there's a ton of information there, our phone numbers, our contact information. Again, it's OregonFirearms.org. That's going to be ground central for these battles.
Okay, Kevin. Well, I thank you for coming on. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully people will take note of some of the things you've said.
Thank you both. Really enjoyed it. Take care.
Okay. And now we're going to take a long top-of-the-hour break, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Finally, the way talk should be heard, 630 and 101.1 FM.
Are going to do an analysis of the candidates. Now, apparently most people, or an awful lot of people, got their ballots in the mail Friday or Saturday. And the reason I know this is because my phone line was burning up all weekend, people calling me up and asking me who they should vote for. So I want to tell everybody right now, right up front, I don't tell people how to vote.
Unless they're voting for you, right?
Unless you're voting for me.
Emperor.
Yeah, if you're voting for me for emperor, by all means, I'll tell you how to vote. But for everybody else, my job is to not tell anybody what to do. I'm barely capable of running my own life, and I'm sure not going to try to tell anybody else how to run theirs. I will, however, give you valid information that you can use to make your own decisions. Now, that being said, I'm sitting here with my ballot in front of me, and something I normally don't do, and I'm not urging anybody else to do the same thing, I'm just making a statement of fact, I do not vote for precinct committee people, I don't vote for judges, and here's why. I can't get sufficient information on the precinct committee people, I can't get sufficient information on the judge candidates to be able to make a valid determination on whether or not they deserve my vote. So I leave those races blank.
And plus, Jim, you know, people can call their local Democratic Party or the Republican Party and ask them who their precinct captain is and who's running for those offices and find out that way.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, I will not cast a vote for anyone that I can't get sufficient information on so that I can determine whether or not they're a good person. So I just don't vote, which basically for the primary leaves us with the governor's race, the U.S. congressional race, and our local commissioner's races. So let's start with commissioner.
Oh, boy.
Well, we start local and we'll work up. How's that?
Well, you couldn't work. You couldn't go any further down from the commissioners, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. County commissioner position two. We've got four candidates. We got Dale Penny. We got Katie Iman. We have John Sweet, who is the incumbent, and we have Steve Scheer. So let's just kind of go down the list, and I'm going to share what I know and can prove, okay? And you folks, you make your own decision. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I don't do that. Not my job. Let's start with Dale Penny. Dale Penny is a proverbial candidate. He seems like every time there's a commissioner's race, he runs for commissioner.
And yeah.
He gets a handful of votes every time, his friends and relatives, and that's about the extent of it. He has no real platform. He has no real reason to run other than the fact that he wants to be commissioner.
Yeah, and he's not running any campaign. I haven't really seen him put out any information. And the thing about Dale is he ran last time as a spoiler when Sweet was running against Gurney, and he pulled enough votes from Gurney so that...
Sweet won. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, whatever you think. You know, maybe you're one of Dale's friends. That's fine. I'm just telling you what I've been able to determine. Next one on the list is Katie Eyman. Katie Eyman is the wife of Bill Bradbury. Bill Bradbury is a guy that, when he was in the Oregon Senate, basically screwed Coos County.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. He was, and then at some point, he was Secretary of State.
No, he was President of the Senate.
Oh.
When he became President of the Senate, he made the statement that, well, he couldn't be too concerned about Coos County because he had to look at the whole state now as President of the Senate. Well, it wasn't the whole state that brung him to the dance. It was Coos County.
Right.
So he's a lying, disingenuous piece of crap. And his wife basically is the best description as Portland Democrat. She was on the show. I know that a lot of you that listen regularly listen to her. Some of her ideas are not too bad. Some of them are not too good. One of the things that I found to be a major sticking point is she's bought into the line from Jody McCaffrey and her cave people that for some reason natural gas is inherently bad.
They're just anti, you know, it doesn't really matter.
They're anti-business.
They're anti-business. They're anti-development. And
yeah, here's the thing. Yes, the LNG plant poses significant risks. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But you are at greater risk getting in your car and driving down a public street than you're ever going to be from an LNG facility.
Right.
But it goes much deeper than that. The people that are opposing the LNG facility are also the people that oppose Steg Power locating here. They oppose Nucor Steel locating
right.
here. They have done, and they also opposed what was called the South Coast Reinforcement Project, which was a project put up by Pacific Power to run additional power lines into Coos County. A lot of people aren't aware, but as far as electrical power, Coos County, southwestern Oregon, is one of the most underpowered places in the entire United States. And Pacific Power wanted to bring additional power lines in, and McCaffrey and her bunch of cave people did everything in their power to stop it. And these are the people that Katie Eyman has aligned herself with.
You know, people are dying all over the third world because they can't get proper heating and cooling and stuff. And one of the things that we have the opportunity here in this country to do is the availability to affordable energy. And the more affordable it is because of competition, the better it is for the poor people that she claims to represent.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so Katie Eyman, basically, she's a Portland Democrat. She's also in favor of breaking federal law. She's pro-immigration, pro-illegal immigration.
Right.
And, you know, you can do what you want, folks. For myself, I will not vote for anyone who advocates breaking the law, period.
No, I would agree, especially that law. It's a good one.
Well, any law. We've all got to obey the law. If you don't like the law, change it. That's what our system allows for. But you can't just arbitrarily say, well, I'm not going to obey that law because I disagree with it. And also, don't forget, it's these illegal aliens coming into the country that have cost us jobs. They drive down wages, and they become a parasite on the back of the taxpayers, and that's what she supports. Next one on the list is the incumbent John Sweet.
Oh, boy.
Now, we already know about John. John is a liar.
Absolutely, he's a
liar. Well documented, and he even admitted that he lied.
He admitted in a newspaper that he lied about the community enhancement plan and how it was going to be shared, and then admitted that after the campaign to the World newspaper. Yes, absolutely.
So we already know he's a disingenuous, lying piece of crap.
And not only that, through the whole process of that urban renewal thing that we were doing on the North Spit, the whole time him and Cribbins said that they wanted to know what the people thought, even though they refused to put it on the ballot to find out what the people thought.
Right. And then in the meetings, they're the ones that limit the people's ability to tell the commissioners what they think.
Yeah, in fact, the other side got to give a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation, about an hour each time for every single meeting, where we, as individuals, only got 3 minutes per individual and couldn't make a coherent, argument
right
against this. They didn't let me do my PowerPoint, and I'm pretty upset about that.
And let's also not forget that John Sweet, with his waterfront enhancement thing, he wants to take what would otherwise be taxpayer dollars, give them to a private group that's totally unaccountable. And we're not talking chump change.
No.
We're talking upwards of $20 million.
Right.
He wants to give unaccountable private individuals, a private group, what would otherwise be taxpayer money to spend as they see fit. Now, their big hook on this is, it's for the schools. We want this money so we can spend it on the schools. But when you read their bylaws, there is nothing in the bylaws of that group that requires them to spend 1 cent on schools.
Nothing. And here's the other thing. They said they got a special agreement from the state that the schools, once they get that money, that the state wouldn't claw back that money because, the sharing fund. I don't know that was an actual piece of legislation.
I want to see that.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
I haven't seen any presentation.
Or is it another lie?
Yeah, I guess so. So that's John caught in three lies now. So, great. This is the guy you want as commissioner.
And I've talked to a number of people that have approached Sweet about what to them were very, very genuine problems. He has a tendency to laugh people off and denigrate them.
Isn't that, and he won't face anyone in a conflict after the meetings. And, he will sit there and literally laugh in your face and not let you, engage in some type of conversation, because they don't want to engage in this.
No. So basically, the bottom line, folks, John Sweet is a just disingenuous, lying piece of crap. And his arrogance comes out virtually every time you have any contact with him.
And Jim, don't forget this. He voted against the Second Amendment Preservation Resolution.
Yes, he did.
He voted against the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance twice, rejecting your Second Amendment rights. And then, once again, he created a position that the people of this county voted against, the county administrator, and he done that by creating the finance director,
which is the de facto county administrator.
Right.
So, according to John Sweet, your views and your opinions mean nothing.
Right.
He's going to do what he wants to and screw you.
And by the way, he's gutted several departments to pay for the budget shortfalls, like the Parks Department. He's made comments about wanting to sell the parks of our county. Now think about that. This is a person who's running for election, who's made comments in work sessions about selling our parks, but yet you haven't heard anything of that on any of his commercials, have you? No.
Of course not.
Right, not.
Well, and you never heard anything on his commercials. He supports SCDC, South Coast Development Council. This is a group that has spent literally millions of dollars, and I can tell you exactly how many jobs they've created over 10 years.
Zip.
Two.
Two.
Two. The administrator and his assistant.
Oh, well, they've gotten rid of those, and I think they got new administrators.
Oh, so.
Yeah, this guy, one guy was a bag boy or something like
that.
Yeah,
but the problem is it's the same job, so they've still, in 10 years and millions of dollars, they've created two jobs.
Right.
And Sweet thinks that's wonderful.
He keeps giving them more and more of your tax dollars.
Absolutely. Before we continue, I need to take a break here because I just looked at the clock. We're running over time. We'll hear some of our great sponsors, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
At Gibbs RV in Coos Bay, we sell more RVs than anybody on the Oregon coast. And we're looking for nice, clean, pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Want to get your RV sold without the hassle? Call Gibbs RV today at 888-3424. That's 541-888-3424. Local pickup and appraisal at no charge. And remember, we make house calls. Gibbs RV Superstore, 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, "Man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on?" He said, "I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry because your car is what we're all about. We do it all."
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. I just heard the ad for Bayshore Automotive. This is kind of a little ad lib. Their business is so good, they need more technicians. They're trying to hire technicians. So if you're an automotive technician, you're looking for a job, stop down to Bayshore Automotive and talk to Jeff. He desperately needs somebody. And here's the thing, folks. He's paying between 20 and 30 bucks an hour based on experience.
You know, all you gearheads out here, that's a lot of money for a gearhead, right? And I mean, they're good. They're worth it. You know, there's nothing better than a good mechanic who knows what he's doing.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's one of the things I take my rigs to Bayshore for all of
them. Oh, I've been there. Yeah.
One thing I like about it, they are very, very picky about making sure you're happy with their service. They'll bend over backwards for you. Jeff needs more technicians so he can continue giving the good service.
Hey, you know what I like about them is not once did they steal my Merle Haggard cassettes and any of my cars. I appreciate that, guys.
Well, why would they?
Yeah,
I'm not going to go there. let's get back to the analysis, okay? County Commissioner, position 2. The fourth candidate is Steve Shearer. Steve has been on Planning Commission for quite a number of years. He was on the Budget Committee for a number of years. Steve knows how the system works.
Yeah.
He knows where the money comes from, how the money's spent, and being a member of the Budget Committee, he also knows where it needs to be applied.
And that was the best thing that he did. He could have done in any commissioner before you ever decide to run for office. Find out what that person does in that position. Because a lot of people don't even know what county commissioners do. They don't know what county councilors do. And they go in there with this highfalutin idea that they're going to change this, that, and the other thing. And they realize, oh, I have no authority to do that.
That's right. And at least with Shearer, out of all the candidates, with the exception of Sweet,
right,
he knows more than any of the others how the system runs and what he can do and what he cannot do.
And in fact, he probably knows where a couple of those Sweet bodies are buried at somewhere out there. Just saying, putting that out there, okay?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to County Commissioner Position 3. that's the position currently held by Melissa Cribbins, and We already know about Melissa. She's an attorney, but apparently not a very good one because she doesn't understand the difference between libel and slander. And Melissa, if you're listening, I'm still waiting. You threatened to sue me. Where is the paperwork? Why have you not sued me? Are you just another lying politician, Melissa?
And once again, she had the chance of finding out during the urban renewal process, like she said, and she said several times, we want to find out what you, the people, think about this urban renewal debt. And all she had to do was vote to put it on the ballot. It's that simple, Melissa. What's wrong with you?
It would have cost absolutely nothing. And then they would have known. But she didn't really want to hear what the people had to say. And if you look at her track record, Melissa has a very, very good track record of representing the Coquille Indian tribe.
She does. She's been a lobbyist and a lawyer for them. And yeah. I guess she was supposed to stop that. But, you know, apparently she does something for them because they sure do give them a lot of money.
The people in Medford took an advisory vote on whether or not to have
another casino
down there. The people turned it down. So what did Melissa Cribbins do? She uses her position as a Coos County commissioner to oppose the will of the people in Medford and support an Indian casino.
Now, I want you folks to think about this. Could you imagine a county commissioner from, I think that Medford's Jackson County?
Yeah.
Jackson County coming up here to Coos County after we have voted against something, telling us, hey, you know, you guys should forget what you're voting on, and you should go ahead and put this casino in, even though there's been problems with this in other areas. And it's unconstitutional because no one tribe is supposed to own more than one casino.
Right.
But they got special permission from John Kitzhopper when he was governor.
Gee, what a surprise.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cribbins also refused to put the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance on the ballot.
Right.
So I don't care what she says. You know, politicians say and do anything they think they need to say or do to get elected. Don't listen to what they say. Look at what they've done. Cribbins comes out and says she's pro-Second Amendment. If that's the case, Melissa, then why in the hell didn't you vote to put this on the ballot? And the other part of that, every commissioner takes an oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution and laws of the state of Oregon. Well, the Second Amendment, Oregon's version of the Second Amendment, is actually stronger than the federal
version. Much stronger, right, yeah.
And she apparently doesn't think that's important enough to support and defend. So not only does she not represent most of the people in Coos County? Now, if you're a member of the Coquille Indian tribe, by all means, vote for her. She's your candidate.
Right.
But if you're not a member of the Indian tribe, she doesn't give a rat's behind about you. She's demonstrated that over and over again. If you're a gun owner, she doesn't give a rat's behind about you either.
And you know what's infuriating about that is that she has mentioned this several times, especially when we were debating the Second Amendment ordinance, is that she's a concealed handgun license holder. And
it's all right for her but not for you.
That's right. So, you know, if you like a lying hypocrite,
so this is your typical liberal elitist attitude.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't need guns. You know, look at them at national level. They want to take guns away from everybody else while they're surrounded by armed bodyguards.
Yep.
And don't kid yourself, Cribbins has visions of moving up the political ladder.
Yep.
This is our opportunity to stop another lying liberal from moving up the ladder.
You know, and that's just it, because people, if you want to know right now, if you want to stop Melissa Cribbins, you can do this in the primary, because if she doesn't reach 50% of the goal and someone else does, they go on and don't have to go into the general. They win the election. Yeah. So that's all we have to do.
Well, and that's the same way in race for position, too. If any one of the candidates gets 50% plus one, then they become commissioner. They don't have to go through the general.
And, you know, that says a lot about a county. Two county commissioners have been here more than 4 years. If neither one of them come out of the primary getting more than half, what does that tell you about their standing in our county?
Yeah.
Pretty sad.
Now the other candidates for position three, we got Natalie Ranker, who was on the show last week.
Right.
Nice lady.
She's very nice. I like Natalie.
I like her a lot, too. The problem is, I don't think she really has a clue as to what a commissioner does.
Well, you know what it was she's one of those people, is her property is going to be interrupted by that LNG line. And so that was really her one issue that she was going on.
Yeah.
And just like I said, she didn't learn the position of county commissioner. She just kind of thought that she could do this, that, and the other thing, and didn't realize that there were 10 other issues, probably more than 10 other issues that are going on at any time for any county commissioners. And if you don't know those, no one's going to elect you to an office where you're completely confused by.
Yeah, so, you know, I almost feel sorry for her.
I do,
because she just plain doesn't know what the job entails.
And I heard she's going into surgery yesterday or the day before. So I hope, if you're listening, Natalie, I hope you're getting better and you're resting.
I hope so. She, like I said, she's a nice lady. I think she's just in over her head.
Well, let's put it this way. If I went to the commissioner's meeting, I'd much rather deal with Natalie Ranker than, you know, Melissa
Cribbins or John Sweet. Yeah. And then the third candidate is Avery Horton. And, you know, I'll be up front, folks. I've got to let you know this in all fairness. Avery and I have had our ups and downs. I've known Avery for probably close to 20 years.
Right.
We've had our ups and downs. And I have some serious reservations about Avery. However, that being said, of the candidates for that position, Avery is not a liar like Melissa.
Right.
Avery does know what the job entails,
right,
unlike Natalie. And I think Avery would probably do a pretty good job. All other things considered. Now, I'm sure that if he won the election, he and I would have some serious... Well, here's a reality, folks. No matter who wins election for what position,
right,
at some point, I'm going to have disagreements.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
No matter who it is. Any candidate that I've ever supported, I ended up eventually fighting against them on one issue or another.
Yeah, it's just how it is. But what we're looking for, remember this. People talk about elections, but what are elections really? Elections are events. I was looking for the right word. Elections are events where an employer interviews and hires employees.
Right.
We the people are the employer in this case. It's us. We own the cities. We own the county. We own the state. We own the country. It's we the people, and what we are doing, we are interviewing candidates to fulfill specific jobs to represent the interests of the owners. That's us. So when you see these people running for public office and they give you all this grandiose crap, the thing you need to ask, what have they done for me? What have they done for the people as a whole?
What have they done to protect our individual rights? Sure, they can fix roads and fill potholes, but... what did you do to go that extra yard to make sure that our rights, our property rights, our gun rights, free speech, all of that that's under attack, because we just did a whole front first hour on that. What are you doing to protect that? That's what I want to hear. And the one thing I do like about Avery is he does keep that kind of stuff in mind. He's a big Second Amendment supporter. Anytime that I've needed him on any issue or for rallies, he's always Johnny on the spot. He's right there. So you have to give the man credit for this. And the one thing about this, we were just talking about hiring the perfect person for the job. Sometimes you need someone who's going to be play interference, who's going to be adversarial.
Somebody that's going to rock the boat.
Right, who's going to rock the boat. And now you've got a third commissioner who's decided to join the other two in the cabal. And so it'd be good to have Avery to balance off whoever's going to take that second position and Bob Main, who's now the third, you know, he's position one.
The problem is total harmony within that department is not good for the people.
Not good at all.
We the people Keep that in mind when you mark your ballot. We the people. We the people. We own this country. These are our potential employees. And I want somebody that's going to represent all the people. All of we the people. Not the special interest of the Indian tribe. Not the special interest of the Old Boy Network. Not the special interest of the big money. But we the people. And
you know, Jim, people were asking me who I would define as the Old Boy Network, and I would say that it was three specific groups. You have the unions, you have the Coos Bay Chamber of Commerce, and then you have the industrialists all in that area over there who control a lot of the money coming in and out of this county, and so they want to have their hands into the political pockets so that they make sure that they can make all the policies are going in their favor.
Right. So they're not really representing all of the people. They're representing a small segment. And that's what we need to get over, folks. For way too often, we voted for people because the local newspaper said they're good. And we already know that this piece of crap that's trying to pass itself off as a newspaper is nothing but fake news and lies.
Oh, what a bunch of garbage. Yeah. I mean, you know, their headlines are scaring, you know, because they talk about these are update news flash, and it's not a news flash. It's just another day's story.
Well, 90% of what they publish is crap from the AP that's already a day or 2 days old.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
Hey, we got to take a break. We're running way over time. So we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we'll finish up on the analysis of candidates.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a newer used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct, giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I guess we basically covered the commissioner positions. You folks listening, I have faith that you get it. Okay? The problem is there's an awful lot of people out there that don't get it.
That's the problem.
You look at the national statistics, only about 16 or 17% of the population even pay attention to politics. And a lot of people, when they get their ballot in the mail, that's the first time they knew that there's even an election going on.
I've been circulating a petition for that urban renewal.
Oh, right.
90% of the people have no clue what urban renewal is, much less that the county had one.
No, they don't. So, it's incumbent on each of us. I'm just a guy that talks on the radio. I'm no different than you are. I have the same basic likes and dislikes, the same basic needs as everybody else. And I'm here to tell you folks, just listening and taking action on your own is a major step forward, but it's not enough. We need to get the word out. You need to talk to the people you work with. You need to talk to your friends, your relatives, people you recreate with. You need to let people know, because if we don't take this country back, we're going to lose it forever. We are really, really close. We've got politicians that advocate breaking the laws because it's contrary to their agenda. We have politicians that have no respect whatsoever for your constitutionally guaranteed rights. We have politicians that represent special interests and basically tell the rest of us to put it where the sun don't shine. And we got to stop that. This is our country. It's not their country. These people are people coming to you with hat in hand looking for a job. It's your job as the owner to hire the people that are going to be good for the company.
Yeah, and the ones who aren't, they're going to complain because, you weren't generous enough, or you didn't like them because they weren't a certain segment of the population that's approved, But, the thing is that you were talking about these local elections. We just lost a school bond measure with 34 votes.
34 votes.
We won it just 6 months earlier with 28 votes.
But they keep coming back and they keep coming back.
And they keep coming back. But the thing is, folks.
And they keep lying.
And they keep lying. But that's why, though, the it's so close. That's why it's more important now than ever for people to be getting involved and voting, because your vote really matters in these local elections.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple votes makes a difference. I'll tell you what, let's take another break here and give something away. And when we come back, I want to talk about a couple more races.
Got it.
This is from the Lucky Star Chinese restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101. Open 7 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 in the evening. You can dine in, you can carry out, or they deliver. And what they're offering, and food there is great, by the way. And service is really good.
Incredible.
I think I've been there. I've had breakfast, lunch, and dinner there.
Well, Jim, I think I've been there too much, because when I go in there, the young lady behind the counter always goes, "Oh, you want the usual?" Yeah, that's me.
Well, that's a good thing. Anyway, what they're offering is their house special dinner. It includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. It's enough food for three people easily. And I'm going to give this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Caller number 3 gets a house special dinner from Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. and we'll be right back.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With the cold, harsh winter months behind us and summer right around the corner, you want to make sure your tires are ready for your adventure. Whether it's off-roading, a drive up the coast, or to the mountains, you want to drive with confidence that only Cooper Tires can provide. With a wide selection of Cooper Tires, Far West Tire and Auto has all your tire needs covered. Stop by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
Hey Oregon, it's Rob from Basin Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, the Basin Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there. Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. You can quit calling. We do have a winner for the meal at Lucky Star. Anyway, there's two more races I wanted to comment on. One's a governor's race, and Newt Bueller was in town last week. And, you know, for all the world, I don't know what he is. When I was doing my research on candidates, I went back 3 years, and I pulled up his voting record.
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
If you take the R away from behind his name and just look at his voting record, you can't determine what party he's from.
It's almost indistinguishable. In fact, when I used to analyze a lot of the bills and I found out he was running again this year, I was like, oh, man, you know.
Well, don't forget, he's voted for two anti-gun bills.
Yep.
He also is a believer in socialized medicine,
universal coverage. Yep.
He hasn't come up with a way to pay for it, but basically, he's supporting Obamacare.
Right, and you know, that's the scariest thing of all, because once they start these programs, you can never get on it. It's cradle to grave, you know?
Yeah, and you know, that's the last thing we need is more government. You know, Trump has finally released us from some of the burden of government, and Bueller wants to throw it back on our shoulders.
It's like the feds keep digging us out or trying to dig us out, and the state just keeps burying it on us.
Yeah. So, you know, that's Bueller. You know, if you're a socialist, if you don't like guns, vote for Bueller.
Yep, pretty much.
And of course, Cuff, he doesn't have any, you know, I'm just looking at reality. He doesn't have enough money, and he doesn't have enough behind him to stand a chance.
Even though I like Bruce,
I like what he has to say, yeah. But
you're, you know, right.
You got to look at the reality.
Yep.
I've been doing this a long time. The candidate that most impressed me was Sam Carpenter.
I did like
Sam.
That
we had on the show. Now, Carpenter is basically a Trumpster. If you like what Donald Trump's doing, you're going to love Sam Carpenter, because it looks like they're peas in a pod.
And I think of all of them, he has, of all the conservative, more conservative
right.
candidates, I think he has the greatest chance of winning. And
he, you know. Well, he's got the money, he's got an organization, right. And he's got a message that, you know, like I said, if you like what Trump's doing, you love Carpenter. And then, of course, we got Kate Brown. I mean, this is a woman who wants to raise your taxes after the feds gave us a tax break. She wants to take the money away. And she hates guns. She basically hates normal people.
She's a communist.
I don't even
know why we're fooling around. She's a communist.
But, you know, for governor, it's up to you. You can choose a of the ones that even stand a remote chance, is Bueller and Carpenter, and you got a choice between a Trumpster and a socialist.
Well, we got Woolridge, too, don't we?
Well, Woolridge, again,
You have to look at the pragmatic sense.
Yeah, you've
that
got
he's not
to be pragmatic.
Win.
He's a good guy.
Well,
he's got a great background.
Well, what was it? The Blue Angels, I think he flew for. And he wasn't just flying for him. He was the head guy.
He was the dude.
Yeah,
he was the man.
Yeah. But the thing was when he started talking so glowingly about the unions, that's when I kind of sat down. I'm done.
Yeah.
But
of the ones that have a chance, you've got to look at the reality, folks. Anybody can file to run for any public office, but you've got to look at who stands a chance of winning. And the thing you need to ask yourself, and I know there's a lot of people out there who want to vote on principle, and that's fine, but why waste your vote on principle if you don't stand a chance of winning? And remember, only the winners get to choose the course of action. The losers fall by the wayside and have no voice. And if you want to be a winner, pick your candidates wisely. Now, the other race I wanted to comment on is U.S. Congressional District 4.
Oh, Little
Peter DeFazio. And again, we've got several candidates, but in looking at them, the only one that I see, Art Robinson.
Art Robinson, but he's damaged goods.
I like Art
I do
a
too.
Lot, and I supported him in his past efforts. However, if you try to run too many times and you never win, you become damaged goods, and unfortunately, that's where Art's at.
I think
right
he's
now.
Suffering from the Dale Penny effect.
Yeah, probably. And then you've got Court Boyce.
Yep.
Court's actually been doing the things that a U.S. representative should be doing that little Peter never did. Court's knowledgeable about timber and timber issues.
And he was a commissioner for Southern County.
Yes, he was a Curry County commissioner. He understands the problems we face in this area. And of the candidates, he's probably the one that's most knowledgeable and, in my opinion, the one most likely to follow through with what he says.
And I think the other one is Joe Ray Perkins the other candidate. And I'll be honest, I like Joe Ray. She's a good friend of mine, but she has no chance.
No chance at all.
None at all.
And that's a problem. I don't want to denigrate these, let's say, for lack of a better term, weaker candidates. I don't want to denigrate them because some of them are really great people and they've got some good ideas.
And it doesn't mean that it's over with because there's a lot of positions out there that she could take.
Yeah. But the thing is, when you cast that ballot, don't waste it casting a vote because somebody's your friend, even though they stand no chance of winning.
Right.
We're at a time, folks. In this county, in this state, and in this country, where every vote means something, be very careful about who you vote for and why you vote for them. Now, I know there's a lot of knuckle-dragging liberal idiots out there that are going to vote for knuckle-dragging idiots.
I was going to say, so speaking of Peter DeFazio, where are we going to review him, of course?
Well, little Peter is probably one of the... He's probably one of the greatest liars we've ever had represented.
Oh, man, that guy is smooth like butter.
He comes here, and he tells the people one thing, and then he goes back to D.C. and does something entirely opposite. And I haven't done the current research, but several years ago, I attended a meeting. It was a town hall with little Peter, and that's when they still allowed you to ask questions without having them screened in advance. And I went with documents, and I asked him in the open meeting, I said, well, Congressman, you came here and you said this, but then you went to D.C. and you did that. And I had at least a dozen examples of that. And instead of addressing the issue, he went off on me. He was actually leaning over the row of seats ahead of me, screaming and slobbering in my face because I had caught him lying.
And anyone who hasn't seen Peter DeFazio do this, I didn't see that one, but I've seen him go after people that, like you said, ask him questions and put him on the spot. Man, he really goes after him.
He's a lying piece of crap. The only time you hear from him is during election year, as he brings us chump change. He brought us, what, $39 million for something.
Yeah, but none of his bills have gone through.
No.
None of them.
None of them. Zero. Zip. And $39 million, yeah, that's a lot of money. But if you're a senior member of Congress and you're only capable of getting $39 million right. for your district, that means that everybody there hates you.
And on top of that, that wasn't for the ports. I mean, when's the last time we've, you know, every year we fight for dredging money
yeah.
for our ports. And
yeah.
Peter's there, why? I'll help you.
Yeah, well, why hasn't he done a permanent fix?
Right.
And all of this timber stuff, he comes here. Oh, well, you know, we got to do something. We got to harvest more timber. Well, look at his voting record.
Right.
He's the one that voted for the nonsense that put us in the bind to begin with.
Yep.
He's a lying piece of crap, bottom line. That's all I can say. You know, again, you folks listening, do what you will, because we're all different. We all see things a little differently. I deal in empirical knowledge and I deal in fact. I don't deal in what I would like.
You know, look at that Bandon Marsh thing. He's got his plaque, his name
right.
on a piece of that marsh. Yet when he came down here after we raised all that fracas and he said, we're going to do something about that. We're going to go back to Washington. We're going to take care of that, because he was on the Natural Resources
yeah, didn't
Committee.
Do squat.
Didn't do squat for us.
No, he's a liar. He's a typical politician. And now, in all honesty, his first two terms, he actually gave us pretty doggone good representation. He actually addressed the real problems. But after the second term, I guess it's the same thing.
Right.
He got the taste of the power, and he was more happy living in his rarefied atmosphere with a bunch of other liars and scums and crooks.
And look at his net worth at the time he went
yeah.
in to his net worth now.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how you can go to Congress with no money and become a millionaire?
Yeah, incredible. I got into the wrong business. I mean, I should have been corrupt. I didn't know what I was thinking.
Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain said it best, you know, in America, there is no distinct criminal class, save, of course, the Congress.
Right.
And you know, it's there for all of us to see. Anyway, that's my little analysis. Do with it as you will. Cast your vote wisely, people. Cast your vote for the people, not for the politicians, not for the special interests. Cast your ballot for the people. And we are out of time. I sincerely thank you for listening. And I will be back next week, God willing. And until then, I want you to go out there and you have a great week.